The weather is challenging. The farm economy is challenging. Imagine yourself taking a couple of days, laying on the beach, 80 degrees, sunshine. Okay, pinch yourself, wake up. It's January in the Dakotas. How about 2 days at a summit that will focus on the health of your mental health and the farm economics and how to deal with stress? Maybe that's even a better idea because you don't have to fly to Tahiti to get some warm weather. David Ripplinger, North Dakota State University Extension Service Bioproducts and Bioenergy Economist. Dave, we could all use a little warmth, even if it's just warm fuzzies.
You know what? I thought it was warm this weekend, but I guess things change here in North Dakota pretty quickly.
Actually, 24 hours ago, it was like 40 above. But yeah, it changed in a hurry. So.
I reminisce about yesterday fondly. So.
Yes. All right. Well, coming up at the end of the month, Monday, January 29th and Tuesday, January 30th, I think a lot of folks are going to go to Bismarck for your Life Beyond Breaking Even Farm Economic Summit in Bismarck. And tell us a little bit of what are some of the highlights.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're having a two-day event in Bismarck on the 29th and 30th. Focusing on the farm economy, farm management, and also farm stress. Having workshops on that first day, Monday the 29th, one focused on farm management, another on farm stress, and then on Tuesday the 30th, we're having a all-day summit talking about those issues as well. Kicked off with the keynote speaker, Roger Johnson of the National Farmers Union.
All right. Well, he's a North Dakota farmer who's in D.C. Some of the stress that's coming on the farm is due to some things that have happened or not happened in D.C. So maybe Roger will be enlightening somewhat. But I think the focus of your summit is going to be maybe set off a few light bulbs in farmers and what they could be doing on their own to reduce stress.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. So we actually have a team of extension economists from across the nation coming in both to conduct a workshop and then to participate in the summit on Tuesday, as well as a number of farm stress experts from across the country as well.
All right. Well, who are some of the biggies coming in?
Yeah, well, so on the farm management, the economic side, which is kind of more of my alley, myself and Frank Olson, who's a crop economist here at NDSU Extension, will be there, as will Ryan Larson, who used to be at NDSU Extension until going to Utah State last year. We also have Matt Dearson from South Dakota State and Matt Stockton from the University of Nebraska Extension coming up to participate in that workshop as well as to share their thoughts in the summit.
Okay, so what are they going to say? Why should we be there?
Yeah, so a lot of it is going to be talking about on the economic side of where we are, why we're here, and then of course in the workshop is how can we best manage our farms and ranches to remain profitable or to become profitable and to be sustainable in the long term.
Okay, so are we going to get like a roadmap on how to dig ourselves out of some problem areas financially?
Well, it's going to be, it'll be tools and concepts and practices that farmers and ranchers can use to manage their operations, yep.
There are so many things that happen in the business world that businessmen and women, the business owners, can control. If they don't have enough customers, they can advertise and get more customers to come through the door. If they want to improve the product, they can improve the product. Man, there are so many things in farming that are totally out of the farmer's control.
Well, that's absolutely true, and I think you just have to accept that for what it is. On the farm management side, we're going to talk about different management techniques to control what you can. We're also going to be talking about financial management, marketing management, and then just risk management more generally. And it's really kind of a higher level workshop in terms of integrating all of these things and thinking about how they're all related.
Okay. All right. Well, what are the details on getting registered and getting there?
Yeah. So I encourage anyone who's interested to register for either the farm management or the farm stress workshop. And some of you can register for those separately. Probably the easiest way to get there is just Google NDSU Extension Farm Stress, and you'll get there. Or you can visit our website, ag.ndsu.edu/farm-ranch-stress. Registration is $25 for either of the workshops and $25 for the summit. Basically, we didn't want to make it prohibitive, but we wanted to have people give a signal and make sure they could cover the cost of their meal. The rest of it's on NDSU Extension and the co-host North Dakota Farmers Union.
Wonderful. All right. Not very stressful to come to the Farm Management Workshop Monday the 29th in Bismarck and Tuesday the Farm Stress, Managing Stresses in Farming Workshop. Pretty cool. All right. Well, we'll check it out and try to get registered. And I think I've been checking the weather forecast. The weather is going to be better by the end of the month, believe it or not, Dave.
You know what? One way or another, it'll probably be different.
it usually is. Let's take a couple of minutes and talk about your area of expertise, the bioenergy, and one of the areas that farmers, I guess, were pleasantly surprised on in the recent tax package was the Section 199 for co-ops. And a lot of ethanol plants are co-ops, and a lot of farmers would, I guess, now rather sell to their co-op their ethanol plant than directly to their elevator.
Happy to see that come through for co-ops and co-op members. It was a bit of a surprise when people were reading the fine print to see that might have been removal. We had a lot of activity from farmland, the farmland congressional delegations to get that taken care of, so we can continue to have that benefit.
And is that going to change the way farmers do business, alter it significantly in 2018-19?
No, but it'll allow them to continue their business as usual and not have to worry about changes in their tax liability, which is definitely helpful.
For sure. All right. There are some business plans in the works. People are trying to put together some cellulosic ethanol plants. Now, that's something that's really stalled out for almost a decade. Do you see that blossoming at all?
You know, I think it's going to continue to be a challenge to commercialize cellulosic. Right now we're seeing, corn ethanol is really matured. Biodiesel, especially soybean oil-based biodiesel, is really matured and found a spot. The advanced biofuels and cellulosic, you know, they continue to struggle. We see a lot of activity. It's really now been kind of, now a decade in, we've seen some come and go, but there's still activity in that space. You know, if and when that comes to commercial operation and expansion, I guess time will tell.
Okay. A couple of years ago, we started talking about the energy beets and that, you know, we can grow those all across anywhere in the Dakotas. And it's not just it's not a sugar beet. It's totally different. Where's that project at?
Yeah, it's actually in a bit of a standstill. We did receive good word from EPA last year in 2017. Regarding the estimated carbon footprint associated with energy beet ethanol. Their estimates, based on information that was provided by project developers like Green Vision Group and scientists at NDSU and elsewhere, and work we've done at NDSU Extension at the Research Extension Centers, you know, we found that carbon footprint is going to be relatively small, likely qualifying energy beet ethanol as an advanced biofuel, which is definitely good news. The reasons for that are twofold. One would be keeping that green top in the field and getting a nitrogen credit, and the other is the use of the beet pulp as a feed and displacing other feeds in the system. That being said, it is difficult to commercialize new advanced biofuel projects. Corn ethanol is extremely mature and performing well. We're seeing expansion in that industry, and we're still seeing, you know, relatively low energy prices. You know, oil is above $60, which is good news if you're trying to sell energy, but it's still not quite enough. The price of gasoline still isn't quite enough to really make commercialization of a greenfield project like energy beet ethanol to see that move forward right now.
Yeah, can we have too much ethanol out there?
Well, it depends on who you ask. I mean, we've seen the corn ethanol industry here in the United States grow to a point where, you know, we can easily provide that 10% blend. So most gasoline sold now in the United States is E10. We're looking for expansion, where that might come. Some on the flex fuel side, actually, E85 at some stations here in Fargo is extremely appealing on an energy equivalent basis or on a power equivalent basis. I'm very happy I have a flex fuel truck right now, so I can take advantage of that. There's some growth on that. Longer term, you know, we've seen growth in exports. We're actually exporting at a pretty steady clip. We saw exports up 14% in November, and we're really getting a lot into Brazil, which is nice, even though they have tariffs on ethanol, which is really targeting us. And then beyond that, it would be getting to a higher blend. You know, do we see E15, E20, or E30 at the pump? That would be a dramatic shift in where we've been. But, of course, you know, if you want to go back to 2005, E10 was not that common either.
Now, is there the negative sentiment against ethanol that was generally out there, miseducation, is that going away?
I mean, you know, not really. You know, I think that there's, you know, 10 years ago in the RFS, the Renewable Fuel Standard, which mandates biofuel use, and the RFS 2, which was an update to that policy, came into play. There was a nice coalition between farmers or the ag industry, environmentalists, and the petroleum industry. And that shared interest has really fallen away. And I don't know if or when it'll ever be regained or even what role education might play in that. The environmental benefits of ethanol are no longer appreciated by many environmentally inclined individuals, and the petroleum industry now has their low-cost octane in ethanol because the industry has been built, and so I think they certainly don't want to see ethanol go away, but they wouldn't mind seeing the mandates go away.
All right, very good. David Ripplinger, North Dakota State University Extension Bioproducts Bioenergy Economist. Hey, we'll check out the summit to focus on farm economics and stress January 29th and 30th in Bismarck. Thank you for the visit, and Happy New Year, David.
Same to you, Mick. Take care.
All right.